Welcome, everyone. I'm Holly Bott, and this is From Surviving to Living, the podcast where raw stories of transformation are told. This is not just a podcast. It's the power of change. God is interested in you. My story is not fiction. I'm a woman, a felon, a sex offender. I did hard time. I am so awed by Jesus, I will risk my reputation and talk about it. He transformed me. He will do that for you. I trust him. I hope you do too. Are you hurting? Are you sick of just surviving? I was too. How does one really, truly live? God causes transformation. It is possible for everyone. Thank God. I never saw it coming. Let me tell you how it happens. Get ready for your adventure of faith and life beyond bars. This is From Surviving to Living. Are you ready to tap into an incredible source of power that can transform your life? Imagine navigating challenging new beginnings and legal battles with a renewed sense of strength and clarity. As I embark on a journey to reclaim my parental rights and I face the hurdles of a demanding job, I uncover the extraordinary teachings of the Holy Spirit. Join me as I unveil the secret to overcoming uncertainty and adversity and discover the true source of power and ability. Don't miss a word of this gripping tale. This is Where's My Son? Come work with me, Jay urged in the fall of 2014. We need another tutor. I shuddered at the thought. Not a chance, I answered. Jay was a tutor in ABE, Adult Basic Education. It could be argued that prison has neighborhoods, with the unemployed its roughest, and education its angry twin. As one lives and eats with the people you work with, I had no interest in moving to that depressing neighborhood. I worked as a clerk in the mental health unit. I had a very flexible schedule, which allowed opportunities to call my son Tim, who was in foster care. Our phone visit times were dictated by Brian, Tim's caseworker. As an inmate in prison, nothing could be counted on. Unexpected raids, riots, and lockdowns often prevented me from calling Tim. However, any failure on my part to call as scheduled would be written up by Brian in his reports as intentional neglect. Sick of being described as an uncaring mother who doesn't bother to call her son when scheduled, I had obtained the most flexible work schedule possible. Soon, I'd learned this job also had its drawbacks. I wasn't making enough money to call Tim even when I was available. Students like Edith, however, kept me from a better paying job like tutoring. Her mental health needs meant she didn't live with the other students, she lived with me. She was thin and anxiety made her awkward. She often asked for help with homework outside of class. I don't understand this! Edith jabbed at her paper. She was seated next to me in the day room. She crossed her arms. I leaned forward to study the work. Edith was learning basic math. I decided to help her as I picked up a pencil and wrote a number. This is how you start, I answered, tensing. Her shoulders rose, elbows dug into her sides. I set the pencil down calmly and smiled. Edith pushed the paper with a finger, huffing. How did you know? How did? She squeezed her eyes tight, pursed her lips. She was winding up to a frustrated outburst. Lucy, sketching nearby, disappeared from the room with her things, rolling her eyes. Edith didn't notice. Winding up, she shook her head, teeth clenched. Edith's tension was contagious. A tiny woman, Edith still took a room hostage, an emotional terrorist. She had few friends. The day room had gone silent, an army of heads turning at the noise. Irritated at the disruption, someone hollered, "Shut up, Edith! You're stupid!" Edith's eyes popped open, and spinning in her chair, she studied my face. Her shoulders sagged as she rushed out, "Thank you for being nice to me," blurring the lines between gratitude and desperation. Edith had low standards. An absence of cruelty isn't the same as the presence of kindness. While students like Edith were a big reason I didn't want a job as tutor, my depression was another. School started early in the morning, lasted all day, 5 days a week. I was emotionally unstable, so failure seemed certain for me. I feared being fired. Do you struggle with anxiety and asking for help? Is it difficult for you to help someone even when you love them? The following spring, in May 2015, Jay urged me again to become a school tutor. This time, I agreed. I met with Ms. Shibley, an experienced DOC teacher. She immediately hired me and became a role model for me, an example of strength and grace in a hostile environment. My new job meant moving out of the mental health unit. I was relocated to Tubman, and here, in this new room, my personal transformation began, even though I was unaware at the time that I needed to change. God orchestrates every detail of life, and all falls into His plans. He was about to reach out to me, raising my awareness that I didn't really know Him like I thought. A good friend loaned me a book about the Holy Spirit. I read it, intrigued, and I wondered, is this true? I knew of the Holy Spirit, the third member of the Trinity. However, I was unclear about the Holy Spirit's role. This book spoke of power, power given to us. I read, "But you shall receive power, ability, efficiency, and might when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses to the ends of the earth," which is in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Still, I felt skeptical and uncertain. In past, I'd relied on my church and parents to teach me. Why had they not mentioned this? The author continued to cite the Bible and referenced the original Greek language, encouraging readers to seek the Holy Spirit and His power. I whispered in my heart, "If that's real, I want it." But I doubted. Where would I get this power if I didn't have it already? Who was it for? Another week and I returned the book, dismissing it. A seed, however, was planted in my heart that would soon blossom, changing me in ways I didn't know was possible. I began my new job, and my negative bias against students was confirmed immediately. Leah sat in the back of the class and slept every morning with her head on the desk. "Miss Shibley, can you help me?" Leah whispered one day, raising her sleepy head an inch or two. I was busy grading papers, but my attention was caught as Miss Shibley crouched beside Leah's desk. "What can I do for you, Leah?" she asked, searching Leah's tired face. Leah pushed up, frustration creasing her forehead. "My meds make me sleepy," Leah complained, "but I have a directive to take them, and I take them at breakfast, and then I have this class." Leah paused and sighed. I froze, listening. The room emptied of noise and people. Ringing began in my ears as Leah continued, "Can you help me, Miss Shibley? Maybe switch when I take them." I didn't wait for her answer. I felt embarrassed and guilty. My eyes lifted to the rest of the room. Who else did I misunderstand? Who else was hurting? Stung at the thought, I returned to grading papers with fresh eyes. In the evenings, I called my children. The previous summer, after receiving a more flexible job schedule, I'd requested more phone visits with Tim. My request was immediately rejected, and visits terminated altogether. My request was seen as suspect and attributed to my crime as evidence of my evil character. Eventually, Brian had insisted my phone calls with Tim be supervised, and then visits were restored. Tim's newest foster mom was Melissa, and she agreed to be a supervisor of our phone visits as soon as Tim was placed in her home. This had never happened before, as previous supervisors were chosen by Brian. I soon understood why Melissa was so eager for this assignment. "Hi, Holly. I am so glad you called," Melissa gushed as soon as she answered the phone. "I am so excited to meet you. I told all my friends about you, Tim's mom. We're going to be great friends. I know it." Surprised, I hesitated. Past phone supervisors had only listened. "Thank you," I managed. "Is Tim there?" Oh yes, Melissa cooed. Timmykins is sitting right here, aren't you, honey bunny? She paused for a breath, and I heard Tim meekly, mm-hmm, in the background. Returning to the phone, Melissa marched on. Tell me all about you, your day, and prison. I want to hear all about it. And then I'll tell you all about myself. I imagined Tim somewhere in her house as our minutes ticked away, along with my $5. 15 minutes later, I had just enough time with Tim to say, I love you, Tim. Next time, we will get to talk to each other, I promise. And drained, I went to my room. Melissa was a self-described hero, a perfect foster mom who did everything with L-O-V-E, love. Summer bled into fall. Holly, so glad you called. I look forward to our visits, Melissa oozed. Traffic sounds echoed in the background. Quickly, I rushed in. Actually, I'm calling for Tim, remember? Is he there, please? Tim's voice echoed dimly in the background. Tim? I pushed. Oh, don't worry, sweetie. Timmy Pooh is here somewhere. We'll get to him in a minute. Melissa's voice developed an edge. Don't you want to hear how I think he's doing? Don't you care about me? The edge of her voice became hard. I'm beginning to think you don't like me. You're always asking for Tim. Don't you think I take good care of him? Tim, 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 she ranted. Alarmed, I wondered how to respond. For weeks and then months, Melissa had dominated the phone visits, soaking up attention. Requests to speak with Tim were ignored, Melissa joyfully sharing. Eventually, my insistence created a fracture in her composure. Irritation now leaked through easily. Finally, I asked for help. I explained the situation to Brian, and he agreed to take care of it. I was relieved, but that relief would be short-lived. Spurned, Melissa refused to answer the phone ever again, terminating our visits. She then evicted Tim from her home and labeled him a troublemaker. At this point, Tim had been in so many foster homes that his age, medical condition, and new label as troublemaker made him a difficult placement. He experienced several rapid temporary placements. I was frantic to locate him and reassure him. Where was he? I had no phone number for Tim now. I called Brian, and his slow, lazy voice contrasted my urgent panic. Well, he's moving every night or two, often spending the day at my office. I pictured Tim with his meager belongings, shuffled from home to home, spending his days with his backpack in an office. I continued to write Tim, care of Brian, reassuring Tim I wanted to call, but Brian stopped delivering the letters to Tim. I had no idea, and I continued to write. Frantic to restore visitation, I called my Washington State attorney. She refused to answer, and I left voicemail after voicemail. I'm not receiving my visits. Where is my son? September turned into October. I called again. Where is my son? I have not spoken to my son. Feeling dismissed and ignored, I acted. Using the library computer, I wrote a court petition and requested a new attorney. I included documentation of several bar violations that I'd experienced at the hands of my current attorney. I mailed the petition to my attorney, and this time she was interested in talking. She told me, "You can't mail this petition directly to the court, so I will take care of it." In late November, a hearing was scheduled, and I appeared by phone. The judge had not seen my petition. My attorney had not shared it. "Ms. Aho," the judge intoned, "we are here today because you'd like a new attorney?" "Yes, sir," I responded, unaware the judge was uninformed. I waited. My attorney filled the silence. "Your Honor, Ms. Aho is very demanding, but if she doesn't like my hard work, I will step aside." I wondered how she could say this in light of my petition. The judge didn't wait for me to respond. "Ms. Aho, this court has provided you with a free attorney, and I've received no information that she is not adequate. Don't bother us with your nonsense. Motion denied." The phone disconnected. Shocked, I stared at the phone receiver in my hand. I could almost hear my crooked attorney laughing. I pursed my lips and resolve straightened my spine. I mailed the petition directly to the judge the very next day. Another court hearing was scheduled, and this time the mood was quite different. "Ms. Aho, I see you've outlined reasons you'd like a new attorney," the judge asked. almost gently, and I was surprised at his new tone. Before I could answer, my attorney interrupted, "Your Honor, Miss Aho has sent this petition to the court without my permission. I am outraged." "Excuse me, but if half of this document is true, then your behavior is an outrage," the judge surprised everybody by saying. Pausing to regroup, he resumed, "Miss Aho, you have this court's apology. While we provide a free lawyer, we do believe in providing a good lawyer. I am granting your request." This felt like a win, but it was a temporary triumph. Brian continued to lie in his reports. The court moved on, uncaring. Meanwhile, my letters to Tim, undelivered, stacked up on Brian's desk. Tim had no idea any of this was going on. His dad had stopped visiting him long ago, and Tim received all of Brian's false reports, so he now believed I had abandoned him also. Without calls or letters, he cried alone in his room, wondering where everyone was. Initially, I'd been compliant with social services and my attorney, who told me to sign a voluntary waiver of my parental rights 2 years ago. Shocked by these events, however, I reevaluated. In January 2016, I asked my new attorney to tear up that waiver. I wanted to keep my son. Immediately, social services moved to terminate parental rights and a trial date was set. The gloves were off. I would not be in the fight alone, however. It was at this time, the perfect moment, that God revealed his power to me. Listener, are you tired of feeling stuck in conflicts and frustrated by your circumstances? Have you achieved temporary victories only to find yourself back at square one? Are you searching for a lasting and effective solution to your challenges? The answer lies in the words of Jesus in John 14 and Paul's teachings in the book of Galatians, which shed light on the transformative power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Jesus tells us in John 14, "But the Comforter, Counselor, Helper, Intercessor, Advocate, Strengthener, and Standby, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my place to represent me and act on my behalf, he will teach you all things." In Galatians, Paul tells us more, saying, "But the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which is the work which his presence within accomplishes, is love, joy, peace, patience, and even temper, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." The first time I read those verses, I misunderstood, interpreting the qualities listed as goals for me to achieve, rather than recognizing them as the natural outcomes of the transformative work of the Holy Spirit, focusing on my external actions rather than internal transformation. I believed I needed to actively work on being kinder or more patient, rather than understanding that these qualities develop because of the Holy Spirit's presence and influence within. However, these verses do not instruct us on what actions to take. Rather, they illuminate the transformation that occurs within us through the work of the Holy Spirit. So, what is this transformative work, and how does it lead to the qualities mentioned in the verses, ultimately bringing us peace? Let's review the roles of the Holy Spirit as Jesus describes. Jesus tells us the Holy Spirit is a comforter. The science of comfort tells us comfort can calm emotions and give us time to sort our feelings. Whether you are happy, angry, worried, or sad, comfort is a mood stabilizer. Are you facing challenges with your mental health? Comfort is a key to your mental, physical, emotional, and spiritual well-being. It is more than just a warm feeling. The power of comfort can increase your capacity to relax and renew, slow down your breathing, lower your blood pressure, boost your energy levels, activate your body's natural healing processes, reduce stress hormones, alleviate pain and suffering, and even enhance your creativity. The Holy Spirit is also a counselor. Counseling allows individuals to explore their feelings, beliefs, and behaviors, working through challenging or influential memories and identifying aspects of their lives they would like to change, better understanding themselves and others so they can set personal goals and work toward desired change. The Holy Spirit is a helper. Helpers aid people in accomplishing their life mission and purpose while acting as a companion. The Holy Spirit is an intercessor, and this is someone who talks to God on our behalf, asking for God's divine intervention in our lives. He is an advocate. This is someone who provides information to help you make informed decisions, contacting relevant people and supporting you in your meetings and appointments as well. The Holy Spirit is a strengthener, increasing our strength and making us stronger. And finally, the Holy Spirit is a standby for Jesus, which means a person we can rely on, especially in emergencies. Are you aware that the Holy Spirit does all this work on our behalf, for us and with us? With great comfort and counseling, I can easily imagine becoming more patient, with self-control. With a helper and advocate, I can see joy and faithfulness filling my life. With new strength and someone to rely on, I see peace within reach. Do you want all this? This, my friends, is awesome and possible for you. Jesus tells us how to begin. He says in Luke 11, "If you then, evil as you are, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask and continue to ask Him?" Why is persistent asking important? Persistent asking demonstrates your commitment, and it forces you to clarify why it's important to you and what you're willing to do to make it happen, helping you understand your priorities better. Finally, it also strengthens relationships by showing your dedication and commitment and demonstrating your trust in the other person's ability to help you. Wow! Just imagine what we could do with all of that! And it all begins with asking God. Let's start today. Dear Jesus, I pray for the person listening right now, and I pray for me. Fill us with your Holy Spirit for your great work in us. Cause us to continue asking, desiring more of you, and bringing peace to our lives today. Amen. Look for more episodes that inspire at hollybot.me. Until next time, remember, your story is never over. God's grace is always waiting to rewrite it. This is From Surviving to Living.